eyes. Would you just invite him to open my eyes, Jesus, to what you're up to, what you want to do? Maybe just give him permission. Jesus, I allow you access right now to me. Just tell him, come, Lord. I don't want to attend another church service. I want to encounter you. So would you come for me and speak? In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, I'm Randy. I'm one of the pastors here at Adventure. And a little interaction to start off with. If you were to describe what Jesus is up to, what he came to do, what his mission is in this world, what words would you put to it? What are some words you put to it? This is what he came to do. To save us. To what? Restore our hearts. Huh? Give us hope. Yeah. Anything else? Bind up the brokenhearted. Yeah. Came to show us God and what God is like. He came to redeem us, purchase us back. Yeah, those are good answers. I think it'd be helpful for us to know what he's up to, what he's after, so we could cooperate. If we have the inclination to cooperate. I want to look at just a couple of film clips to start us off, just to get us thinking about what he is up to. And so let's watch these and then we'll just chat a little bit about them. Why are you laughing? Can anyone here relate to that scene? Like, that ever feel frustrated like that? If you had superhuman powers, you'd crush your door. Yeah, Hancock is it's an amazing film. Here's a story of a superhero who has literally forgotten who he is. He has a kind of amnesia, and he's forgotten. He doesn't remember who he is, or where he came from, or what his real mission is. He knows he has these powers, and he should help people because he has these powers. But without his identity and without his heart and without knowing his mission, he feels alone, he feels empty, and so he turns to cynicism and alcohol to numb the pain. And he becomes a superhero whose powers actually do more harm than good. Brilliant portrayal of our story. Your story. Are you not superheroes? What are you capable of? Do you think you are capable of things like discovering the atom, building a skyscraper, discovering fuel injection? Amen, man. feeding the hungry, going to the moon. We are superheroes, whether we realize it or not. It's just normal. Because your superhuman strength is normal, you forget you have it. And you forget what you are capable of. And so here he is, he's this superhero, and like him, we are made to change the world, but we've forgotten who we are, and so we have lost heart, and we have turned to anesthesia to numb the pain. And then you've got the Incredibles. Here are these people whose hearts are made for a great mission, and they're stuck in a life of revoking people's insurance claims. And it has made them gain weight and become slow and angry. And that is, I mean, look around you at that story. What is Jesus up to? That was the question I started with. And the scripture is clear. His mission is the things you said. His mission is restoration. His mission is to restore discouraged and disenfranchised warriors, superheroes, to their original strength and their glory and their mission. I was asking the Lord this past week, Lord, what is your mission and what is our mission at Adventure? I mean, God's been very, very clear over the years about this is your mission statement. This is what I called you to do. But I was like, Lord, is there more you want to say about that? Is there more about Adventure that you want to tell us as a church body of what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to go? And as I was asking him that, I got this picture in my mind, a moving picture. And I want to invite you to have that picture as well. And so would you just close your eyes? You don't have to, but I just want to, it'd be way more cool if you do. Just want to kind of take you on the same mental journey I took when I asked the Lord, what is our mission? What are you doing? And first I want you just to imagine that God is walking right up to you specifically. And he reaches down and he takes your hand and he transports you. He moves you. Float through the air. He takes you over the world, over the countries, over the ocean, and he sets you down on a hillside overlooking an ancient valley, miles wide. And the valley is covered with, the dirt in the valley is dry, it's cracked by the sun. And as far as you can see, the valley is covered with bones. Bones. Skeletons. Piled on skeletons. Bones all fallen apart in piles. Dry, chalky bones. Skulls half buried. Clean from the rain and dried by the sun again and again. Bleached white. You see them? In the valley? Look over the whole valley with the bones covering it. And then God says to you, you hear him speak your name specifically. He says, "Do you think I can make these bones live again?" What's your answer? What's your answer? You don't know how to answer, so you say, "Lord, you alone know." And then the ground starts shaking, and the bones begin to move. They begin rising up and piecing together. Not a single skeleton standing there, but the entire valley covered now with skeletons all put together, shoulder to shoulder, lifeless, staring at you. And then moisture, like steam, comes from the bones of the skeletons, creating the faintest mist throughout the entire valley. And then tendons and muscles and veins and arteries start to burst out, covering each skeleton. Then organs and skin and hair. And there they are, thousands upon thousands standing there, looking at you, but lifeless. And then you hear a great wind blow from the four corners. And the lungs of the lifeless bodies are all filled like a gasp of air, like a person coming up from being underwater too long. And it's a deafening inhale. Immediately, something starts to happen. Their bodies are covered now with thick purple clothing. And then like closed-toe titanium plates by themselves appear and wrap around their feet. And ankle armor seems to just fold out and wrap around their ankles. And shin armor, a plate flips out over their knees, and plate armor over their thighs, and a belt and a breastplate flips around them like something from an Iron Man film. And their shoulders and their forearms are now being covered with plates. Armored gloves wrap around their hands and their fingers. And then right above their heads, these helmets appear and descend on them. And then swords, shimmering brilliantly, appear in their right hands and shields in their left. And then all of them take a half step forward with sword and shield ready to lunge. You may be wondering, what movie is this a scene from? Is it from The Mummy? Prince of Persia? It's actually from the Word of God. It's from Ezekiel 37. I'd like to read to you this passage. and I lost it. Had it bookmarked. Is that a cool picture? Did you go there? Were you there? Yeah, all right. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and he led me back and forth among them. Is Ezekiel 37. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. What's the meaning of them being dry? Why is that so significant here? And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone," just like you guys said, "you alone know." And he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together bone to bone, and I look, and tendons and flesh appeared. Can you imagine? Like, Hollywood can't compare. This is pretty cool stuff. tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered in them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. A vast army. And then he said to me, these bones are the whole house of Israel, the people of God. And they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we're cut off. You ever feel dry? You ever feel like, I just don't have anything to offer? I've been taken out again and again and again. I've just been hammered. I'm done. That's where they were. And the sovereign says, oh, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll bring you back to the land. You are my people. Know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. When I asked the Lord, what's our mission? That's the picture he brought to mind. That was the picture he brought. And I saw it like you guys, like I walked through it with you. And I'm like, this is from somewhere in the Bible. Oh, yeah. Ezekiel 37. So I went back and I read it. And he said, Randy, this is your mission. This is what I've called you to. This is the vision for Adventure Community Church. You are to raise an army. You're to raise an army. Said a man, can these bones live? Look at that. Can you guys see those? That's a lot of bones. This is our mission, to raise an army from dry bones, piecing the bones back together and reviving them and arming them. That's our mission. We're to raise an army. There's no way we can do it on our own. We need the Lord to move. We need the Lord to send His Spirit. We need the Lord to heal, restore. Jesus made it clear that restoration is the bullseye of His mission. In Luke chapter 4, He goes up into the temple, and He could have picked any from 1,000 passages all throughout the Old Testament to say, this is why I've come, this is my mission. But he opens up the scroll of Isaiah and he turns to what we would call Isaiah 61, verse 1. And this is the core passage of Adventure Church and what we've derived our mission from thus to this point as a church. And where everything we've done at Adventure has been based on this. And so this week, as I was getting this picture from Ezekiel 37, I went back to this and I did a fine-tooth comb study. I was like, okay, Lord, this is what you've told us, and now you're adding this Ezekiel 37, and Lord, I want to know more about Isaiah 61. And so I was looking, doing word studies on each word, and I just want to walk through a few of those. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. This is Jesus speaking. And I looked up that word Spirit, and it's not the word I thought it was going to be for Spirit. Like the Spirit that lives within you, or the Holy Spirit, Spirit word. It's a different word. It's a word, Ruach. And the word means, I have to look at my notes for what it means. It means imparting of a warlike energy. Imparting of a warlike energy. The warlike energy of the Lord is on me. The angst of the Sovereign Lord, the passion, the run to the battle passion of the Sovereign Lord is on me. What is that run to the battle passion on Jesus for? Well, He's anointed me, set me apart to preach good news to the poor. The word poor isn't financially poor. It's if you do a word study, you find it's the humble, the afflicted, the meek, and literally means the depressed. The depressed. The dejected. I'm dry bones. I've got nothing left to offer. Those are the people he's talking about. He sent me to preach good news, anointing me to preach good news to the to the depressed. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The word there is shattered of heart, crushed of heart, to proclaim freedom for the captives, the things that hold us captive, like we were talking about, you know, here we have Hancock, and here he's this hero, but he's held captive. Release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year, the word there for year is the Hebrew word for age. The age of the Lord's favor, where he's going to give his favor. And the day of vengeance of our God. And I love this part. To comfort who? All who what? Mourn. Provide for those who grieve in Zion. Military context. When you're in a war, there are losses. There's losses. You endure losses. Adventure has endured losses. I mean, we've been poking a broomstick and, you know, in a beehive of, you know, Satan's kingdom, and we've gotten some attack back. And we've experienced some losses from that. And he says, I will comfort you in that. I will comfort. I will provide for you who grieve. Right? And then he says he'll bestow on them, I love it, a crown of beauty instead of ashes, gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So he's coming to proclaim an age of his favor, bestow his favor, and provide for those of us who grieve. In short, the mission of Jesus that he's approaching with warlike energy and angst is this: to go to those who are afflicted, those who are humble, those whose hearts have been crushed and hurt, who find themselves captive to some kind of addiction, find themselves captive to some sort of anesthesia, who are under the lies of darkness, like the lies of, I'm not worth fighting for, or God doesn't speak to me, or I'm not in God's inner circle. All these lies that keep us from being the superheroes we're meant to be. He's coming to those, all those places, those who have been taken out for whatever reason, who are the losses because of the war, and feel like, I'm the loss, I'm the person who got taken out, and who feel like they're lying there lifeless with dry, dead bones in the valley. And his unswerving mission is to bind up their hearts, heal them, set them free as sons and daughters from the lies and the darkness, and restore them, comfort them in those places that they have experienced losses and have not yet grieved them, and piece back together bone to bone, tendons, muscles, organs, skin, armor, a vast army of the Lord to invade the kingdom of darkness, to be invaders, pillagers. Jesus said, before you can pillage a strong man's house, first you have to what? Tie up the strong man. And our mission is to steal from Satan. We're pillagers. Our mission is to invade his territory and take back ground. And that's why in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent out the 72... into the towns, they returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus, rejoicing, says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Is he talking about literal snakes and scorpions? He's talking about demonic beings. And who's he given authority to trample on them? You. And overcome how much of the power of the enemy? All of it. Nothing will harm you. You are superheroes. You're superheroes. 2 Timothy, this is why Paul says things like this. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. What's his assumption about our role and our situation? No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. What is Paul saying our perception of what we're up to here is supposed to be? You're in the military. I've never been in the military before. Maybe that's not true. According to 2 Timothy. This is also why Jesus said in Matthew 16, "You are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not be able," literally this word means, "be able to stand up against it." The gates of hell won't be able to stand up against my invading army. You. So, no more relying on professionals to change the world. If you're a professional Christian or a professional whatever ministry person, well done, great. But all of us are in this mission. Jesus' mission is to raise up an army. And then he told me this week, it's not a change in our vision, it's a deepening and renewing of our vision. Our mission is to raise up an army and arm them. Back to this one. Where'd it go? Not that one. Why did it stop rejoining? Am I messing you up? That one. Yeah. To raise an army from dry bones. Ha! Alright. To raise an army from dry bones, piecing together bones back together, reviving them, and then arming them. Now, does anybody here hear all this and go, "You don't understand"? I mean, I'm one of those people, I'm just really hammered. I mean, I can't do anything for the kingdom of God. I mean, I can't be a soldier in an army. I can't really change things. You don't know, my story is different. It's no wonder he told the story about dead, dry bones. Because he's trying to get after that, those lies about your situation that tell you, "I can't be a superhero." What do you believe about your hero status? What do you believe about it? Do you have a long list of reasons you come up here, give me a microphone, and tell us why you couldn't be one? We do. We do. Okay, so that's what he's up to. And it's not real far off from where we've already been with Isaiah 61 as central. Jesus has already been releasing captives and bestowing strength and beauty. I mean, my goodness, I could tell hundreds of stories. Like right now, we've got, you know, common housewives who have turned into powerful counselors, healing marriages, and they're in this room. You know, the marriages and the counselors. And I mean, there's the gals in our church over the last several years have gone through all kinds of mentor training and learned how to work on identifying lies and bringing healing, and there's restoration all over the place. Marriages, hearts restored. Our men have gone through several different levels of training over the years, and individual stories like Gary Hole, leaves his job as an engineer to go get trained as a counselor so he could be more effective at healing hearts, or Jerry Griffin, who, you know, was a mild-mannered, salesman who has become a men's ministry leader and has spoken at camps and developed and is mentoring men, and then you got Seth. If you were here last week, Seth Clemens spoke on Jesus being the light of the world. Now you need to understand, 2 years ago, Seth said to BJ, our youth pastor, he said, I'm really good at my job at Microsoft. I'm kind of a nerd geek guy, right? Computer guy. He said, I know how to do that, but I don't think there's anything that I could think of that I could give to the kingdom of God. Okay, so that was 2 years ago. Now he's developed and run Christmas Dessert Theater Adventure with a cast and a team of like 50 people. He's shepherding the hearts of high schoolers at Adventure. And he spoke at Adventure last week on Jesus being the light of the world. Why did he... So he believed a bunch of lies that kept him back. And so the superhero wasn't arriving. Make sense? Is that not your story? Are you arriving? Are you standing up to your full height right now in your life? Why not? What do you believe? All right. What else has been going on? You might not know, but like, there's folks here at Adventure that have been writing children's curriculum to teach elementary kids to stop the arrows before they ever get in. Like, to identify the lies and stop them so that when the kid on the playground says, you're fat or you're stupid or whatever, they know what to do with that before it ever happens. What I wouldn't give to have learned that before that stuff happened to me. The junior high, my son's a junior higher, and I said, after Tuesday night, I said, dude, what'd they talk about, you know, on the way home? And he said, well, they're teaching us about our worth in the sight of God. And I said, and I'm like, that's pretty sweet. And I'm like, so what? And he said, yeah, and we have to memorize verses to embed that truth about our worth in our hearts so we don't forget it. The high school group, those guys have, what they've done is they've done surveys with the students and they have identified the core lies that those students believe that hold them back from being superheroes. And the two core lies, well, they've come up with like 20 core lies, but the two core lies that have gone, okay, the survey goes like this. They put a lie out there and they go, I think this is true of me sometimes. And then it goes, this is, I feel this way, I feel like I'm stupid, maybe that's the core lie. I feel like I'm stupid sometimes. No. I deal with this every day. Or, no, you don't understand. It's just true of me. Okay? So, the two core lies that they came up with that 47% of the high schoolers believe, no, you don't understand, it's just true of me, are you have no value, you're not worth fighting for, and God doesn't speak to you. 47% of our 70 high school students who come believe those, no, you don't understand, it's just true. How are you going to be a superhero if you believe those two things? So what they're doing in high school is they're taking each lie, each core lie that were in the top 5 or 10, and they're shattering them one by one Thursday night by Thursday night. They're going after the core lies and shattering them. So that's going on. The head of Campus Crusade for Christ for the country of Ethiopia talked to our Jonathan Kobayashi and Kim this last week, and they said, we know how to teach Bible study methods, and we know how to teach people to lead other people to Christ. What we don't know how to teach is how to help people understand who they really are. We don't know anything about how to help people understand their identity and step into it. And Jonathan was like, well, that we do. We love that. Can we help? Fruit bearers, if you know, we talked about last week. Those guys, they've gone, not just for a year, they've gone in and they've done these surgeries and these things for these children in the Philippines. And now Wes has had to hire two chaplains just to keep up with the Bible study demand that the people in the villages want. Like, they've gone in and done these surgical procedures and helped with hearing and blindness and all these things, and now these people want Christ, and so he had to hire chaplains to go to these villages because the demand's so high. That's after a year of ministry. Isn't that cool? I mean, stuff's going on. I mean, what else is going on? We're maxed out. I mean, there's a couple spots on the front, right? And it's a little tight, not only on Sunday mornings, but midweek. The youth group just dislodged the worship group who meets here on Thursday nights because they needed a bigger facility. They were over there, but they kicked out the worship team. And there were some hurt feelings. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Does everybody agree? When you put a whole lot of warriors in a tight space, they're going to step on each other's toes. Okay? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And the reality is, if you look at the military, any of you been in the military? Would you say that every transition is executed flawlessly in the military? Without people getting their toes stepped on? You know, we're in the military. And sometimes we're going to get our toes stepped on. We're in a tight space. There's a lot of us. We have to have flexibility, grace, mercy. Right? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. What else is going on? Real quick here. We've gone to three services. It's created a need for several people to stretch and be here for three services straight. It's a little more tiring for them. We've also lost a lot of the transition time. We used to have a half an hour between services. Now we got 20 minutes. There's not a lot of time for us to connect. So we've really had to lean into groups and connecting in small groups in order to just have relationships. We did a lot of that on Sunday mornings. It's just not, we're too big to do that now. You've got to go in a community group. We have 24 community groups that started, and most of them, amazingly, are full. And so it's just really cool. These are great problems to have, but what are we going to do about it? There are a lot of amazing ministries that God has raised up at Adventure and opportunities to give all over the world, like the Philippines and Ethiopia. But I think it's time for us to turn our eyes back to home a little bit and undergird the foundations here so that we can continue to expand out there in the future. And I think Adventure has gotten near this place before, but we haven't been proactive in the past to step out for like the next phase of growth. We've sort of not done anything, and I think the water has simply receded. You know, we've been flooded with people and life, and then we didn't do a lot about it, so which is fine, because we've always had a policy of sort of forced growth. You know, it's never been our goal to be a big church, but I think time has come for us to stretch and to begin to look ahead toward what we could do, what we could be, what we could accomplish if we pulled together and sought the Lord together for how we could reach more, how we could build this army more effectively. We need to ask God a couple of questions. One is, where do you want us to go next in terms of just facility, and how are we going to get there? And then I think, what are the next steps in building this army? And I think I'll flash forward really quick to Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders, what? We labor in vain. We want the Lord to build the house. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do what we're calling Prayer Initiative 247. Beginning next Sunday, we want to pray round the clock, 24 hours a day for 7 days. For two things. First, thanksgiving for all that God has done and is doing. And then secondly, petition for the needs of facility, the direction of the church, what's next, how we're going to get there. It's exciting. Okay? 168 slots that need to be filled for prayer. Okay? Now, Adventure Lead Team has asked Brian Hillebush to help us with... Brian's walked with a couple other churches that were in transition and growing and needed help finding facility, building facility, raising money. He understands things like what books need to look like so that the bank will not laugh at us. You know, what he understands, God's given a really gifted business mind. So we have asked him, would you head up a team that is about finding us, where's the next place and how we're going to get there? And so he has been. He's been going through our books with a fine-tooth comb. He's been looking at properties and talking to lots of people. And he's going to come up right now and share with us just the next steps for us that are part of this prayer initiative. So, Brian, would you come on up and take us into that?
Shows up. And I'm excited to see how he's going to show up here. We have an opportunity to refinance the church. Our current interest rate's about 7.25%. We're trying to refinance at 4.5%. That's a significant savings for us. In doing that, we'll save about $2,000 a month in what we've got. That helps carry us forward into what hopefully is going to be our plans for the future. Whether that's a new building, whether that's purchasing something else, whatever that may be. So the goal here is, one, try to save our money, be good stewards of the money that God's given to us, and take us forward. To do this, though, and looking at what we have, banks look at several different things. They want to know, is the church growing? Not only in numbers, but in giving. Is the church stable? Is the leadership stable? Where do we set with all of those things here? We're growing in numbers. We had a great year last year as far as our finances. You know. But this year, we need to look as though we have a little bit more money than we had the previous year. Because that's what the banks go look at. So what we're trying to do to get our refinance, we hope to put into place into January, is actually raise $40,000 between now and the end of the year. Now, this money actually stays with the church. It's not part of the money for the refinance. So it's not money that we're actually going to have to spend at this point. We can actually put it towards our next project, whether that be a building or land or wherever we go. But we need to raise that $40,000 so that the bank says, just like when they look at you and your personals, if you've had to refinance a house, or can you afford to make the payment? Do you have any cash reserves? You know, if you lose your job, or in this case, if giving goes down, where do we set? So that is basically the buffer that the bank is going to look at for us to have on hand as far as cash. So we're going to try to actually get that done before the end of the year because we need to show up within this year's numbers. This is a good time for us. I think it's a great time for us to expand, show what God has for us, and I'm excited about it. I'll be at the back if anybody has any questions about what's going on, where we're going, wants to talk to me. Be glad to answer anything I've got. Right now we're doing a lot of investigation. I may not have all the answers. In fact, I know I don't have all the answers, but I'll tell you what we have. Just pray about where you might fit in for this money. We'd really love to have you on board. Thanks.
Brian he's building a team, and he has been just putting in, for the past month or so, he's just been putting in just hours and hours and hours into this. And he's got our books looking awesome, and he's working with Kathy Peterson, who's put in hours and hours and hours. Can we just thank him for that? Well done. in your bulletin is a little card, or a little piece of paper, and it says Thanksgiving and Petition. And what I want to ask you to do is go on our website, click on the button on there to enter into the 247 prayer initiative. And then pick an hour a day that you're going to pray these two things. One is Thanksgiving for all the good problems that we have. We've got a lot of good things going on, and God is moving. And I think he would want us to start with just thanksgiving for everything he's been doing. and then petition. One for, Lord, would you provide the funds to show an increase from last year's income so that we can refinance and get on a strong footing for 2012? And then two, would you provide our need for more space and show us what and how and where? Now, if we banded together and prayed like that, do you think God might provide a nicer situation, a better space than we could sort of figure out with man's wisdom? I think so. And so our ask is, would you? How many of you think you'll go online and sign up? Right on. How many of you think you'll sign up for the harder slots in the middle of the night? All right, we need some middle of the nighters, okay? Because that's what's going to, I'm guessing the easy ones are going to fill out first. But wouldn't it be cool if I was able to report to you next Sunday? I'm sorry, but all 168 spots, we have prayer going before the throne of God in thanksgiving and petition for Adventure Church and its future for these next 7 days done. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's our goal, and that's the challenge. What do I pray for an hour? I've never prayed for an hour. I've prayed for like 2 minutes the most. Well, you start out with just thanksgiving and just thanking God for all the things that He's done, and then coming before Him with petition, and then ask the Lord, what do you want me to pray for our body, this church body that you're putting together? And listen to Him and then pray that. So thank you so much. I want to just pray for our offering right now and just give thanks for it, and then we'll let you go. And at Adventure, what we do with giving is we have a basket in the back right by the door, and so then we just ask that you would place any gifts that you plan to give, if you came prepared to give today. Just put them back there on your way out. But we do want to consecrate the gift to the Lord, so let's do that. Jesus, we do. We these things that we offer you, these gifts that we offer you, whether it be our time or our finances, Lord, we ask that you would take them and use them for your kingdom. We ask that you would heal, set free, restore, rebuild the dry bones, your army. Lord, I pray for these men and women here, young men and women that are here, these heroes, these superheroes. Lord, you, I'm guessing, have identified some lies, some things that they're perhaps under that keep them from stepping up, ways that they have felt like, I am just dead and dry. Lord, would you release them? You are able to do it. Lord, if I hear your voice, Son of Man, do you think these bones can live again? And Lord, the answer is yes. Yes, Lord. Even if I'm the dry bones. Even. Lord, I pray that for each individual here who feels like the dry bones, that your answer would be yes, you can do it. You can do it. So, Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday.